was up here. And I say talk about it because I don't feel like I told anybody anything about it because I hadn't learned what I thought I'd learned. And I still hadn't learned all I need to learn, but I learned a lot the last month or so. God had been wonderful to me. I'm not going to go into every detail of it, but I'm just going to say some might know it, some might not. Me and my family are going through a big trial right now. As far as myself personally, we went through one similar before quite a few years ago, right about the time we started church here. And this, is, to me, is about one of the biggest things that could ever happen to me to bring me down. But you know what? I ain't down.
Bless you.
Yeah. I'm talking about I am happy. When it first started, I got a little bit concerned. And I said, Lord, I don't want to do this again. And I prayed. And I thank God for the teaching and preaching of God. Now, people might come in and say, well, all y'all church does is give y'all a faith pep talk. What else you think you need? I mean, hallelujah. I needed it. Even sometimes I sit there thinking, you know, well, I'm okay. I'm just going to be honest and straight with you. I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings or say anything about anybody. I'm just talking about me. And I'm not trying to lift me up. I'm just going to glorify my Lord, my Savior. So I would sit there sometimes and I said, well, I'm okay. When you come to church, God's gearing you up if you pay attention. Right. Now, I did pay attention because I want to be respectful to the church and the person up here up front. I make my kids pay attention if they're not paying attention. They're going to at least look up here. But, you know, I would sit there sometimes and maybe I'd let my thoughts wander off. But I thank God we got the teaching we got, the preaching we got.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I needed every single bit of it. Now, can I remember every word that was said? Not in my brain. But I got it in here. And so I was, something inside of me was listening. It was my spirit. And I made my body listen. My spirit took it. Because I've had to have, what's some of the titles we've had? In Sunday school especially. Full immersion. Be led. Be led by the Holy Spirit. Brother Scotty teaches us every week about how to keep our faith strong. Now, in my own self, I wouldn't be nothing but a pitiful little hunk of almost tears going through them. But I told April, I said, you know, I said, out of all this that's happening, the first thing came up, we got, and God furnished for it, and we got through that step, so we got a second phase we're going through. And I told April, and she told me, because she knows how I am. She tells me all the time, all is well, all is well. And most of the time, she has to tell me, because I'll let my stupid little brain wander off in that flesh land and the world and think like the world and not think like a Christian ought to think, in my opinion, anyway. And how God tells us to think. But this time, she told me, and I told her, I said, it's all right. I said, the only thing I'm worried about is this, and it wasn't really the center of what we're going through. It was just kind of off to the side. And I said, rest of it don't bother me. I mean, the first time we went, kind of went through this, I lost sleep. I didn't sleep for like 3.5 days. We'd lay down and go to sleep. I'd wake up and went to sleep. And about the time we started going to church here, and I would get up, and I would pace the floor. And yes, I was praying to the Lord, and I wasn't leaving for the Lord before we started church here. I was crying, and I couldn't figure out what to do in my home. But we started going to church here, and I still wasn't doing what God needed me to do. He opened the doors. He went ahead and provided for us. And God has led us out of the situation we were in. And every single day since then, I ask God, what can I do to get stronger? What can I do to get stronger? And we hear it every time we go to church. Now, I'm not trying to come up here and say that anybody else is supposed to do this, but I'm going to tell you what's going to happen if you do. I've got a lot of reading to do, but I want to talk just a few minutes first. When the Bible says, trust in the Lord, lead not in your own understanding, God's got a reason for saying that. You can't fix nothing. I'm sorry, I can't fix nothing. I'm not talking about me. I can't fix nothing. I tried it. Didn't work. And when I thought I had it fixed, guess what? The devil comes up. You know how you, I used to do it, my brother and sister, I was coming home kid. They'd be playing the cards or something, stacking them up. And I'd come by and say, hey, kid. That's what the devil would do me. I'd think, yeah, I got this. Thank you, Lord. Phew. They would knock it out from under me. And he's still fighting. But it hasn't been no good because you know what? He's down there. Mm-hmm. I got where I talked to him and looked down there. You know why? Because he's under my feet.
Yeah.
That's where Jesus put it.
Right.
I hadn't lost any sleep over this situation.
Bless him, Lord.
Now, what has happened is no man able to get in the flesh sometimes and have a few words we shouldn't have. But some of that's my fault. Not all of it. Some of it. She's human too, although she's better at some things than I am. But, you know, I'm the leader of the family. Woo! These kids looking up at me, my wife looking up at me, I better have some answers. I ain't got no answers. Except one.
Bless the Lord.
Trust in the Lord and not in your own understanding. Seek Him in all your way. And that's, you know, I might not quote that word for it, but I got it in here. So I said, okay, Lord. Brother Scott had been teaching us, turn it over to the Lord, turn it over to the Lord. And I'd go around and say, okay, Lord, this is yours. And then about 5 minutes later, man, what am I going to do? This ain't working the way I thought it would. All I did was spat out some word. I'd turn it over to the Lord. But you know what happens when you turn it over to the Lord? You get that, right there. I was praying about a week ago, and I said, Lord, I need to hear from you. I got this certain situation. I need an answer. I need to tell you to tell me which way to go, and I only got this amount of time to do it. And I prayed, and I prayed, and I was, you know, reading my Bible, and I was listening to praise and worship, and I prayed, and, you know, I'd be at work, and I just turned everything off on the truck. You know, no CB, no FM radio, no nothing. I wouldn't hear the Holy Spirit. My truck was loud anyway. And I said, the Holy Spirit, get over that. I know I can't do nothing about it. And I kept feeling like I wasn't hearing anything. Well, God was true to His Word.
Yeah.
And James says, in the book of James, it says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask the Lord, He shall give it free.
Yeah.
I said, Lord, I already come to the realization, I ain't got no wisdom. I've tried to fix stuff all my life and say, well, the Lord give me enough sense, and I, you know, the Lord tell me what to do, and I would go ahead and try to fix it. That ain't the way to do it.
Come on.
I mean, I'm just telling you from my viewpoint. Because the way things stand right now, I ain't fixing nothing. God did it all. It's fixed so far. And He's, what is going to happen, He's going to fix that too.
Yeah.
But even if God don't fix it in the way that man is telling me it needs to be fixed, and I say man, I meant the world. They got their own little situation. I don't care. God's got a plan. God's already fixed it.
Yep.
You know how I know? Because I'm right here.
Right.
Whenever you give it to God, you'll get it right there.
Yep.
Now, somebody might say if they knew all the situation, and I mean, no, I'm not going to take away from the seriousness. So it's pretty serious. My God, pretty big.
Yeah.
And I've been wanting to testify something about it all this time. I said, Lord, you know, this is a miracle Michael's used to. No matter what I said or did, I had some kind of in the back, that unbelief. Now, unbelief is like grass. I don't care how much of it you got. If you don't kill it, it's going to grow real fast.
Yeah.
And grass grows real fast, especially when it rains.
Mm-hmm.
So I managed to get myself and give this to the Lord. You know how come the Lord took it from me? Now, I'm going to tell you my own experience. And I hope this helps somebody. The only reason I'm saying it, because I'm sure everybody in this room has had this happen to them once before. But as Brother Scott and Sister Teresa said, I had my rhema word fulfilled in me. When God took it, he took it because he knew I believed it. He knew I believed his word, that he would take it. In the past, I was telling myself, I know the word, I know God's word is true, but there is something that the world can't understand, is the condition of the heart. That's the reason Christianity hurts the world. That's the reason Christianity is the enemy to the world, because Satan is the prince of the world, and he don't want the heart turned to God. The heart being your spirit. When you turn your heart, your spirit over to God, and you obey God, and God sees it. The Bible said God is no respecter of persons. He looks at the intent of the heart, and nothing is hid from him.
Amen.
When he sees that, he gives you the promises he tells you to give.
Amen.
Now, if you're like me and your dad gum hard-headed, and I don't know what to call myself sometimes. I mean, sometimes I think I'm kind of smart. I can't come from where I came from. I mean, I went to school. Most of the time I was supposed to go to school. But, you know, I didn't live a life pleasing to God. And, you know, God could have said at any time, your time's up. But he did. He gave me mercy and grace. But there's times I give myself way too much credit. And I found out this past month or so, if I keep doing that, I'm going to keep blinding myself and keep myself from getting there.
Yeah.
But I was doing stuff like saying, Lord, see if I can do this Facebook stuff. I said, Lord, I tithe. I give. I've been sowing seeds. What's going on? Lord, I felt like he wasn't saying anything. I felt like he was standing or sitting up there on the throne looking down at me. You know, just kind of looking around. I'm not trying to be any kind of disrespect for our Father, our Creator. Me not this way. It's the right person. God's giving me that. See, I told you I couldn't do that.
Yeah, you can.
You can do all things.
Not without the Lord.
There it is, brother. Amen.
So I was asking the Lord all this stuff. I said, Lord, I receive and I reclaim these promises. Claim these promises and receive them that your word says I can have. And in about 2 or 3 days of that, it all come flooding in. You know what come flooding in? Full immersion of the Word. Be led by the Holy Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. Lean not in your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. Now, I've heard them for 7 years. Sometimes, I'm not going to lie, sometimes I would get my heart right, and the Lord would be able to bless me. Brother Scotty preaches and tells us that they limited the Holy One of Israel in the Old Testament. You can limit the Holy One of Israel, our God, in present-day America. Or I know I did. But I wanted to share that with you. And there's going to be some more stuff that I'm going to be able to share with you. But right now, I'm just tickled to death. You know, I know I'm in God's will because there ain't nothing bothers me.
Right.
The only thing that bothers me is what April says to me. And that's, you know, the only thing reason that does is because I'm doing Ephesians 4:27. I'm giving the devil a place.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell them this morning. April is one of the nicest people you'll ever meet.
Yeah.
Unless you make her mad. Now, she's normal. She's got OCD's pet peeve, just like me and you and everybody else. But she has got this thing, if I get the least bit, you know, out of whack, or say something smart, or say something I don't need to say. She'll say, okay, all is well. Okay, Monty. And I take that as, well, she just wants me to shut up. She's really mad. And I tell her, no, you ain't. Ooh, boy, she don't like that. She'll get mad. Then I'll say real quick, well, I reckon she either was okay, or she was acting okay. So, you know, like this morning, I nearly messed up this morning. I kept telling her okay, and she wasn't okay, and she let me know she wasn't okay. And I said, well, say there. She said, no, I was until you kept that up. So, anyway.
Yeah.
We repented, the Lord fixed that. And what was going on is the devil was trying to keep me from coming up here and telling what I got to say.
That's right. Come on.
And my brother Scotty says, I'm not trying to tell my story, but I'm the one that said it, and I'm the one that knows about it, so I got to tell you what I know. And yes, we're going to get some scripture. I got a lot of it. She'd already been doing it, but it's just amazing.
Yep.
You know, it's like whenever a kid learns how to count to three, I guess. Yay! ABC.
Yep.
That's the way I feel. It's amazing. I have been busting open to get up here and say something about it when the Lord wants me to.
Come on.
And the reason I haven't done it at church service is because I knew it's going to take a few minutes. And the Lord didn't ask me to say it to do it. Anyway. If you got your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter 3. We'll start chapter 3 now. I know it's going to be a little bit hard to keep up. I'm going to read out of the Amplified Bible because it just, I mean, it, and to me, it opened up a whole new thing for me. I've read this before. Not that I stay on it, but I've read it lots of times. And, Lord, did the Lord make it real to me this time. So we're going to go with Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters, you share in the heavenly calling, thoughtfully and attentively, consider the apostle and high priest whom we confess as ours when we accepted him as Savior, namely Jesus. Verse 2. He was faithful to him who appointed him apostle and high priest, as Moses also was faithful in all God's house. Yet Jesus has been considered worthy of much greater glory and honor than Moses, just as the builder of a house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in the administration of all God's house, but only as a ministering servant, his ministry serving as a testimony of the things which were to be spoken afterward, the revelation to come in Christ. But Christ is faithful as a son over his father's house, and we are his if we hold fast our confidence and sense of triumph in our hope in Christ. That's verse 6. Verse 7 says, therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, I want you to remember that in verse 8 starts the word today. Do not harden your hearts as your fathers did in the rebellion of Israel at Meribah on the day of testing in the wilderness. Now, what did I just read up there in verse 6? The Christ is faithful as the son over his father's house, and we are his house, if we hold fast our confidence and sense of triumph and our hope in Christ. That's the New Testament. That's after Jesus. And down here in verse 8, it says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as your fathers did in the rebellion of Israel at Meribah on the day of testing in the wilderness. That's Old Testament. That's significant. Just keep that in the back of your mind. Verse 9 says, where your fathers tried me by testing my forbearance and tolerance, and saw my works through 40 years, and found I stood their test. Verse 10 says, therefore I was angry with this generation, and I said, they always go astray in their heart, and they did not know my ways, nor come progressively better and more intimately acquainted with them. So I swore an oath in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, the promised land. Verse 12 says, take care, brothers and sisters, that there be not any of you a wicked, unbelieving heart, which refuses to trust and rely on the Lord, a heart that turns away from the living God. Now, I just stood up here for about 15 minutes testifying, and I had to repent and ask the Lord to forgive me before. The reason I received my revelation is because I got to verse 10, where it says, they always go astray, and they did not know my ways, nor become progressively better and more intimately acquainted with them. The reason God opened the door and let me go into his perfect rest is because I became more intimately acquainted with him. How did I do that? I turned to him. I turned my heart to him. And I'm sad to say that most people, mankind, which I didn't this time, but most of the time, that's the last resort, not the first resort. This time it was my first resort. God seen it and God honored it. And I'm thanking for it, and I'm praising for it. Our God is a good God.
Yes.
Because I could not have got to the point I am right now in my own understanding, my own mind, and my own emotions, and my own just mental state without God's help. I would be nuts. I would be in a sanitarium somewhere. It would have run me crazy. I know it would. So you know what I'm saying? I said one simple thing and I believed it. I said, God, you got to do this because I can't. And it was almost like you could hear heaven's jubilee in my heart. I mean, it was almost like, you know, a church service in my heart where everybody's singing and praising God. And buddy, it's good.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes, it is.
If you ain't there, get God's word, get on your knees, and we fasted. April beat me fasting. I tell you about that, just what am I doing? I fasted for about a day and a half continuously, and then parts of a day for all of last week. And I'm going to just say fasting's a good thing. And it's not that I had anything against it. It's kind of like that procrastinate thing, you know, you got something you got to do, don't really want to do, and you wait till the last minute to do it until you got to do it. So I finally said, okay, I'll fast for it. So I fasted and I prayed and I read the word. Now, I could have did all of that and not had my heart right and it would have done me no good. I have done it in the past and not received an answer that I thought was an answer. But I'm giving God credit because he got us through everything we went through. And we went through quite a bit in the last 3 or 4 years. I mean, y'all remember the tree fell on the house, don't you? That was a trial. And God got us through that. And, you know, I remember worrying about it big time. And it cost us quite a bit of money to get it fixed, but God got us through it. I mean, you can't even tell it now, look at that. And it ain't our house. You know, I pray we're going to get all kinds of trouble for that. Now, we're starting back in verse 11. And I said this before. God said, so I swore an oath in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, the promised land. Now, that right there stuck out to me, the promised land. He's talking about the children of Israel. What's our promised land? His perfect will. Now, we know what the Bible says in the Old Testament about the promised land. God told Abraham that land was going to be his and his seed. He told Isaac and he told Jacob that everything kind of went, you know, blurry as far as some people look at it. I'm just going to try to use that word because the children of Israel as a people, Jacob's family went to Egypt, was taken care of there for many years where they went into bondage. God took them out and tried and was showing them how great a God is to take them back to the promised land of their fathers. Because once they get to that promised land and they're in God's will and God's plan, can't nothing else touch them. Once you get in God's will for your life and God's plan and you stay there, can't nothing touch you.
Amen.
I don't care if it kills you, it can't touch you. That's the way I feel right now. Yesterday, I got up and I didn't feel good at all. I was sick. Man, I did not feel good. I just thought I was sick. I came over to the giveaway. And right after we got finished with the giveaway, I got really bad sick. Y'all just don't need to be around me and don't get, you know, that kind of sick in my stomach where I'm about to upchuck. So I told him I was taking home. But I knew I had to do this today. And I went home and took some medicine. I slept all day long. I wasn't really bad tired, not that tired. I even woke up about 5 o'clock. And I still didn't feel really good, much better at all. And I'm thinking, man, if I don't make the church, I'm going to let Sister Trace or somebody know. Now, this is my man thing, in my mind. But in here, I didn't want that to happen. I wouldn't need to be here. And when I come up here, I'm going to tell you, the biggest blessing I get out of being up here is getting to tell what God's done for me. I minister myself more than I minister to anybody else if I minister at all.
Come on.
And in here, I wanted to be here. In here, I didn't. Oh, man, I mean, I couldn't move. All I do is lay in the bed, and if I move, boy, you know, we weren't good. But it just wasn't good with that one. And I kept telling myself, no, no, no. So finally, about dark yesterday, I just got up. I said, Lord, I want to go. I want to do it. This is my job. Now, I get up and go when I don't feel good at work, right, on my secular job, my worldly job. 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, I pick myself up and make myself go. Well, okay, let me get ready for some credit. She wakes me up, kicks me out of bed, and says, I need to go. At least 2 or 3 times, if I don't get up then, she just says, I'm really on your own now, boy. I don't wake up too good. I mean, it has to be something real loud wake me up. Then if I can knock it out like an alarm clock, I've been on people up and throw them, they shut up, that's all right, go back to sleep. I don't care. I'm tired. But anyway, if I can do that for myself, now I need to fight that hard for the Lord. I need to stand up and say, all right, devil. Now, I don't know what's going to go, but this is what's going to happen. Amen. So I got up and I said, Lord, you know my heart. I want to make this happen. Well, I got up and ate a little bit. I got to feel a little better. So then I said, okay, probably need to study. And I said something to April, and I'm going to tell you what, April is a good person. But she's, I guess, like Sister Tracy, I said, she is. When you ask her what's on her mind, she's going to tell you. So I was laying there in the bed, you know, before I got up. The last time, I go, oh, man, I don't feel good. She said, don't you think you need to let somebody know? And you should have done it before 6 o'clock evening. And I seen Tracy get up there, and she couldn't hardly talk. So you need to just, you know, I don't remember what all she said, but that suck it up buttercup thing should have come out. And for a little bit, boy, I'm like, oh, man, she don't have to sit down. She don't love me. I didn't tell her that. So I did. Now, I'm not bragging on me. I said, Lord, this is what I want to do. I want to be here. I want to tell everybody. So he made the way.
Here you are.
Now let's go back to verse 12. Anyway, what I meant to go with all of that is I'm in my promised land.
Yeah.
You hear me? Yeah. I feel pretty good this morning. Compared to yesterday, I feel real good.
Okay.
Verse 12 says, take care, brothers and sisters, that there not be any of you, in any of you, a wicked, unbelieving heart which refuses to trust or rely on the Lord. A heart that turns away from the living God. Unbelief will take you away from God quicker than anything you can ever do.
Yes, it will.
The biggest problem I've ever had being a Christian is two things. Number one has been there for a long time, is worry. I always thought it was okay to worry because that means you had your mind on your problem. Therefore, if you had your mind on your problem, people or the Lord could say that you were trying to fix it. Wrong answer.
Amen.
Completely wrong. The Lord's up there saying, what are you trying to do? Well, I'm trying to help you. And I'm like, oh God, Lord, what I need to do next? What I need to do next? Lord, I can't sleep. I get this fixed, Lord. Along those lines. That's been my number one problem most of my Christian life. Number two is, this is a personal thing. God convicted me of smoking cigarettes here a while back. I give up drugs, I give up partying, I give up talking bad, I give up drinking, I give up running around, and everything I was doing, it was ungodly, it wasn't no problem, hardly at all. Thank you, Lord. Cigarettes? Whew. Good Lord, have mercy. I quit for a little while, and something happened, I'm going to have a cigarette, and I give you another. Now, I want everybody to understand, I know y'all. I'm not talking to anybody or about anybody except me. Okay? God convicted me. That's the only person I'm talking about. And I said, and I had this thing whenever I would get a chest cold or get sick, I'd give up cigarettes for 3 or 4 days so I got better and I started smoking again. I said, okay, Lord, just make me sick. Ain't that stupid? I did. I said, Lord, just let me have a cold. You know, I'll give up. This is going to be so hard. Guess what? I ain't had a chest cold in 20 years. I went, okay, that didn't work. I said, Lord, help me. And, Lord, I'm running out of time.
Come on.
I said, Lord, help me. Or another cigarette. Now, I'm talking about, I never was much of a chain smoker. For years and years and years, I smoked about a pack of cigarettes a day. Sometimes a little more, sometimes a little less. Next thing I know, I smoked 2 packs in 12 hours. That's equivalent to 4 packs a day. I said, my Lord. Then I sat down, I was going, I said, okay, I'm gonna go about this money-wise. And, you know, I don't save money. Well, cigarettes is $3.5 to $4 a pack, so I'm smoking $30 worth of cigarettes a day. If I quit that, I'm going to have $150 a week. All right. Man, you know how many cigarettes I chunked? Bought a whole pack, smoked 2 or 3, and chunked out the window. I ain't smoking no more of them. 10 miles down the road, I stopped getting a pack of cigarettes. Now, if you don't think, man, the human worldly mind is dumb, you can't get much dumber than that. I'm telling you, I did it more than once. And April, bless her heart, she made up her mind. Now, she went through some of that, and I was probably the tallest someone because I wasn't strong enough to stand up and say, no, we ain't going to do it, baby. No, don't do it. She finally had enough. She said, I ain't doing it no more. If you want to, that's between you and the Lord. But I'm going to tell you right now, you come at me wanting to kiss on me and hug on me and snuck an ashtray? Nuh-uh, buddy. Okay, mouthwash, toothpaste, all kind of stuff. But that was the biggest, hardest thing for me. Thank God he whooped it for me.
Amen.
Now, that's the reason he did is because I had self willpower. God delivered me from cigarettes a long time ago when I asked the first time. 5, 6 years ago. Me and April at the same time, I'm going to tell this owner. And we was walking across the parking lot with Walmart, some store, Dollar General. And we both wanted cigarettes so bad. Guess what we walked up on? A brand new pack of cigarettes that we both like to smoke. Guess what we did? We picked that pack of cigarettes up and started smoking. Guess what happened? It took us another several years to get over cigarettes.
Yeah.
Now, anybody that's struggling with that, I feel for you. If you want to smoke, I ain't got nothing against you. If you don't want to smoke, I ain't got nothing against you. I'm telling you, me. Talk about me today, because I'm not trying to be anybody's God or Holy Spirit or judgmental of anybody. But I'm telling you, that's the two worst things I had. So God delivered me from both of them. Cigarettes about 4, 5, 6 months ago. I finally said, okay, Lord, I'm going to quit. And after I stayed quit a certain amount of time, God, you know, helped me with it.
Amen.
Because, you know, I understand how he's feeling. He's up there, well, I done delivered you once, good Bob, why'd you go back?
Right.
And it's done. It don't matter what it is, it don't have to be serious, it'll be anything. But I was doing the same thing about worrying. Worrying breeds unbelief.
Yep.
And unbelief is sin to God.
Yep.
I got a lot of reading to do. What we're talking about is this perfect rest. Verse 13 says, but continually encourage one another every day as long as it is called today. We are in today. We come to church to continually encourage and lift each other up today.
Amen.
Not in the times in the wilderness during what the Bible calls the provocation. And there is an opportunity so that none of you will be hardened into settled rebellion by the deceitfulness of sin, its cleverness, delusive glamour, and sophistication. Did you hear them words? Cleverness, delusive glamour, and sophistication. The Bible tells us, don't be ignorant of Satan's devices. Don't be fooled. Even he can change himself into an angel of light, to appear to be. He's not an angel of light. Now, if he can appear to be an angel of light, he can appear to be a Les Paul guitar or a brand new Camaro or a brand new truck or anything, another person to you, to lead you astray, to lead us astray, to lead me astray, In my situation, it was worry. The devil saying that I was worried. So what he did, he kept hitting me home run worried. But now, I'm catching some home runs. They don't go over the fence. Now, when I say that, I know the devil's going to come at me again. Because since I've been increasing myself in the Lord, as the saying is, bigger, more level, bigger devils. It's not bigger devils. They're just going to come at me hard. I know what they're doing about more than I did. Verse 14 says, "For we believers have become partakers of Christ, sharing in all that the Messiah has for us. If only we hold firm our newborn confidence, which originally led us to Him until the end." What was our newborn confidence that we originally had for Him? Change of heart, faith. That's why I got each and every one of us born. We were convicted of our sin. We believed that Jesus died for our sin. And that's where our faith kicked in. When God sees that in your heart, things change in your life. A person can say all they want to, "I accept the Lord Jesus as my Savior, I'm saved." If they don't have a change of heart inside of them, let's call it repentance. That will be number one. Says, "For by grace are you saved through faith." You want the grace, you got to have faith. Now, after you get born again, if you want some more of that grace, you got to have some more of that faith. I say, well, I'm talking about me again. If I want some more of that grace, I got to have some more of that faith. Now, verse 15 says, "While it is said today, while there's still opportunity, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart as when they provoked me in your rebellion in the desert of Meribah. For who were they who heard and yet provoked Him with rebellious acts? Was it not all those who came out of Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was He angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose dead bodies were scattered in the desert? And to whom did He swear an oath that they would not enter His rest, but to those who disobeyed, those who would not listen to His word? So we see that they were not able to enter into His rest, the promised land, because of unbelief and an unwillingness to trust in God." Now, we go to verse 4, chapter 4, verse 1. "Therefore, while the promise of entering His rest still remains and is freely offered today, let us fear." Now, I looked up that word fear. We hear fear. God did not give us, you know, the spirit of fear. That's not the same word.
No.
This fear means to become seized with alarm because you're about to miss out on something. Like, let's say if the bank calls you and says, "If you get down here in 5 minutes, we're going to give you $1,000. And you know you can't because you live 30 miles away. That kind of an alarm. Something along those lines. Not, you know, be fearful, like, scared of your life, which will take away from your life, especially your spiritual life. "Therefore, while the promise of entering His rest still remains and is freely offered today, let us fear in case any one of you seem to come short of reaching it or think he has come too late. For indeed, we have had the good news of salvation preached to us, just as Israelites also, when the good news of the promised land came to them. But the message they heard did not benefit them because it was not united with faith in God by those who heard it. But just because you hear it, don't mean it's going to happen. It's got to be with faith. God's got to see it. God's got to know it. You might say, well, God knows everything. Yeah, He does, because He can see your heart. Can't fool God. Verse 3 says, "For we who believe," that is, we who personally trust and confidently rely on God, "enter that rest. So we have His inner peace now because we are confident in our salvation and assured of His power, just as He said, 'And I swore an oath in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest.' This He said, although His works were complete from the foundation of the world, waiting for all who would believe." He entered into that rest after the foundation of the world was created, waiting on those who believe. Verse 4 says, for somewhere in Scripture, which is in Genesis, he has said this about us, the seventh day, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. God rested in the Scripture there not because he was tired. Our God does not get tired. He is not human. God rested because everything that needed to be done was done, complete, fully accomplished. And he's waiting on the believers. That's all he's doing. He's waiting. He's waiting on them. Thank you, Lord. Verse 5 says, again, and in this they shall enter my rest, which is, you can find this scripture in Psalms 95, 7 through 11. I was going to go there and read it, but I'm not going to have time today. Verse 6 says, therefore, since the promise remains for some, remains, the word remains, since the promise remains for some to enter his rest, and those who had formerly had the good news, the gospel preached to them, failed to grasp it and did not enter, because of their unbelief, evidenced by their disobedience. Now the comparison here is that the children of Israel heard their good news of the promised land preached to them. And when they got out there in the world, in the wilderness, they quit believing. They became disobedient because they quit believing. They were, if you read in the Bible, when they marched out of Egypt, how many do you think didn't believe? And you just in your mind. I don't think there's too many. When they got to the Red Sea and then they started disbelieving again, and then God opened up the Red Sea, I bet their heart was changed.
Right.
Now, I'm not dogging on that. I've been just as bad as anybody. The Lord has delivered me from a lot of stuff because of asking, and sometimes even though I didn't ask, but I still would fall back, start worrying. Now, I'm human. I can only do what humans do, except the Lord Jesus Christ. I have the Holy Spirit in me, and I'm made righteous through the Lord Jesus Christ, to our God and our Father. Is it hard? Sometimes. Is it worth it? Every time. What I got was just like what I got in my milk offer right here and give my life back to the Lord. Ain't no man can take it from me. Somebody might say, well, somebody might hurt you, somebody hurt your family. Yeah, that could happen. That would hurt. But they're not going to take away from me what God's given me in his rest, my promised land. They can't. God gives it to me. The only way that I can lose it is to fall back into disobedience. And God's got enough grace get it back to him. But I'm not going to fall back. Number one, I honor and respect my Lord, my God, my Savior, Jesus Christ, my Creator, God the Father. He's had more grace with me than I deserve. I mean, man, if I could sit here and tell you my life story, just in not every detail, but just in some details, and we had several hours, you would think in your heads, boy, the Lord was good to him. And he has been. And he's still in. Verse 7 says, but the comparison is their good news preached to them. And God says, while there is still remains. Now God said, I'm not going to let them enter my rest because they provoked me. But he didn't keep that rest from us because he said, while there remains today. We heard the good news, it's Jesus Christ, the gospel. Amen. There remains a rest. Amen. And we can have it if we accept it. Verse 7 says, he again sets a definite day, a new today, providing another opportunity to enter that rest by saying through David. Now David is a long time after provocation in the wilderness. So there, when David said in Psalms 95, that they shall not enter my rest, but as long as there is today, God's given it to us. He's not again, but to us because we believe. He could have done away with it right there. I praise God that he did. Again, since a definite day, a new today, providing another opportunity to enter that rest by saying through David after so long a time, just had been said before in the words already quoted. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. That was quoted in Numbers chapter 14, verse 11. Then David said it again on Psalms chapter 95. This mention of rest was not a reference to their entering into Canaan. For if Joshua, now I know the Bible says Jesus right there, but if you do some studying, the name Jesus and Joshua in the Hebrew language and the Greek language are real close. It's actually a word called Yeshua. It means the same name. But if you study it, because he's talking about entering into Canaan, he's talking about Joshua, not Jesus. Jesus didn't lead them out into Canaan in the promised land. Joshua did. The mention of the rest was not a reference to their entering into Canaan, for if Joshua had given them rest, God would not speak about another day of opportunity after that. And verse 9 says, so there remains a full and complete Sabbath rest for the people of God. Now, when we say Sabbath, we automatically think of the seventh day rest. What we take rest from the world, that's not it. The Sabbath day rest is where we take rest completely, perfectly in God. Complete. God gives it to you. Nobody, you can't give it to yourself. Nobody else can give it to you. Oh, man. Verse 10 says, for the one who has once entered his rest has also entered from the weariness and pain of his human labors, just as God rested from those labors uniquely of his own. Well, I'm already running over time. I need to stop. I think I'm going to go. I've got all my scriptures.